Now we go to our regular history segment, and Grant Morris, Dr. Grant Morris from Victoria University Wellington School of Law, joins me now. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
Good. You got your eye on our government debts at the moment. Big story around the world. Lots of governments doing borrowing to sort of get themselves out of the COVID hole.
Yes, it's often in the news, and you usually get two different sides of the story. You get one side saying, look, our borrowing is actually quite reasonable and lower than any other, lower than some other countries. And then you get the other side saying, look, borrowing's out of control. We're paying it back for the next 100 years. And so sort of a useful to look at it in historical context as much as we can and say, well, okay, this is how it compares to other countries at the moment, but how does it actually compare to our country but in the past?
Okay, and so what are you talking about exactly when you use that term government debt?
Yeah, so without going into it too deeply, this is public debt. So this is debt that the government accrues, and we often talk about it as, and this is really useful for our discussion today, as the debt to GDP ratio. So how much debt the government has compared to the GDP of the country. And by doing that, it allows us to compare quite different eras without having to worry about how inflation distorts them. So a lot of the figures I'll give today will be that debt to GDP ratio. The actual amount of debt you often get in the news is the net government debt. Another way of looking at it is the gross government debt, which is somewhat higher. And I suppose two things to consider when we're talking about government debt. There's really two big downsides. One is it has to be paid back, and the other one is you have to pay interest on it. So government debt, as many listeners will know, is to do with the bond market as well, and the way in which a government can acquire debt is through issuing bonds. And so, yeah, when you've got that in play, you've both got the obligation to pay it back, but also the interest that the government will be paying on those on that debt.
Yeah, and I should say, by the way, that that Grant is not an economist. He's talking about this from a historical perspective. But shortly on the show, I think next week, I'll be talking to Adam Tooze, who is an economic historian from Columbia University, who's got a new book called Shutdown, How COVID Shook the World's Economy. And he'll talk about some of the, what went on economically last year and what's likely to happen from here. But you're going to tell us how it sort of compares to what we've done in the past, Grant.
Yes, and there's two great examples that we can use today. And the positive thing is, Jesse, it actually makes what's happening now in New Zealand look okay. So, you know, we get a lot okay. of depressing stories in the news at the moment, but this is one that actually puts things in perspective, and I think we can say, oh, far out, okay, maybe it's not as bad as we thought. And the first example I want to give is possibly the most famous in our history, and that's of the government borrowing during the 1870s under Julius Vogel, who was actually the colonial treasurer, so kind of like the finance minister, if you like, rather than the premier at the time. But he was pretty much given full ability to do what he needed to do in the economy. So this is coming after the New Zealand Wars, and the plan is to really kickstart economic growth in the colony, which is only, you know, 30 years old at that point. So they want to help assist migration by bringing more migrants over and funding that. They want to build roads and railways and telegraph lines, and they want to purchase more Māori land as well. And they're going to do that by borrowing, and they're going to borrow huge amounts of money from overseas to be able to do that, because that was the main way that they could acquire that money. And what you can see at that time is, yes, it gave a huge boost to the economy, which was good for the colonial economy, not so good for the Māori economy in terms of the amount of land that was then lost through this process. But what you see is the economy gets a real boost, but our government debt goes up quite rapidly as well. So if you look at the graph, you can see that our government debt goes over 100% of GDP. So just for comparison, gross figure at the moment is about 30% of GDP, 38% of GDP, sorry, and net is 30. So government debt goes over 100% of GDP gross in the 1870s. And it stays there at that level for about 70 years. Above, it gets worse, but it stays at that really elevated level. So it starts with Vogel.
And this what is what were interest rates like in the 1870s, by the way?
Yeah, so they fluctuated, and you're borrowing this from overseas, so you've got different institutions putting the interest rates on. So that, yeah, that's something that the government always needs to be aware of, is how much interest is paying, and it can start off looking okay, and then if it, you know, depending on the length of the interest rate agreement, you know, if they go up, it can become very expensive. And what happened, what occurred here is that the 1870s were followed by the 1880s, which is the Long Depression. So the economy stagnated, but New Zealand still had all this debt, and it still had to pay, as you say, it still had to pay the interest on this debt. And Bogle got the blame. So he went from hero to zero. He actually comes back, though. He comes back as a politician in the 1880s, and his plan is, you guessed it, to borrow more money.
Right. Add to the bill.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we see it. So, you know, we talk about government continuing to borrow in over the last 20 years with GFC and Christchurch earthquake and now COVID. But this continuous borrowing goes way, way back into our history.
Presumably they paid it back at some point.
Yeah, well, what you see on the graph is that after our next example, which is in the 1930s, and from the 40s onwards, it actually gets better. Once our economy gets that big boost from World War II and from being farmed for the UK and all those exports, we actually get to pay down some of that government debt. It's coming into the 1970s before it goes up again. It's looking quite good. But actually the worst period was just before the Depression, and then with the first Labor government, you get a period where there's a huge amount of borrowing that goes on. You know, firstly, as part of our economic growth, and then to, you know, even though there was retrenchment in the Depression from the, you know, from the, what was the Conservative government, there was still a need to borrow. And then you get the first Labor government, you know, with its very ambitious public works program and nation building program, and they borrow a lot as well. And so by the time you're at that point, you're getting government debt over 200% over GDP, and that's the highest ever. If you look at the graph, it's got this big spike around the 1930s. We nearly defaulted.
We're right on 330, Grant, so I'm going to ask you to skip to the punchline and tell us how our current borrowing compares to all this.
Yeah, so that was the highest point, and as I said, things got quite a lot better. We get to the 1970s, oil crisis, Muldoon borrowing, it goes up again. Then it comes down later in the 90s and through the 2000s. So at the moment, even though it's tracking a lot higher than it has been recently, it actually, in historical context, looking okay.
Okay, that's a positive note to end on. Thank you. Really appreciate it, and sorry to squeeze you today. Grant Morris, talking history. He's in every couple of weeks with a different topic from a historical perspective.